EF has shown up at our studio, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, Rod.
Yeah, well, thanks, Len. I really appreciate the opportunity to see how the radio station operates here. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you see it firsthand where we start off with commercials instead of our programming. As the new president, what do you see for the ARRL?
Well, the league has been running along pretty smoothly, I think, for the last few years, and hopefully it'll continue to do so with me as president. And we've just recently gone into a rather large study, a strategic plan that we've started to implement to take the American Radio Relay League into the next century. And I think a large part of what we're going to be doing over the next couple of years is implementing that plan.
Not to be adversarial, but I'm just curious, do you have any ideas, anything out there to get more of the new no-coders involved?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, we've over the last year and a half, we've seen a lot more of the no-code technicians become members of the American Radio Relay League. We seem to be getting the message across to them a little better that even for the no-code technicians and technicians, that there is a place, you know, in the American Radio Relay League for them to have a voice in what's really going on.
I've been getting questioned recently and wondering, you know, just to throw this out, and people may have suggested it to you already, but I've been asked more and more from people who are into packet if they can get like a work DXCC on packet, just even though it's going through bulletin boards and doing that type of thing, but they're getting QSL cards back and forth. And I have a person that has told me he has like 350 QSL cards from all over the world just on 2-meter packet. You know, it is bulletin board, but I think, you know, contesting has always been, and paper chasing has always been a big part of the ARRL, and I'm wondering if that wouldn't be an avenue to get more no-coders involved.
It might very well be. I don't know if that would fit into our DXCC program, because it'd be sort of like working through repeaters.
Well, DXCC /P or something.
That's true. PKT, maybe.
Well,
it's an interesting proposition, though.
Well, you know, I'm just wondering, as my normal co-host, Ned Stearns, AA7A, he's the new contest, he's on a new contest, he's a new guy on the contest advisory board, and, you know, he's always looking for ways, so that was just a suggestion I know that was brought up to him also.
Well, I know the digital people are becoming more and more aligned, if you will, with the American Radio Relay League. We're involved in sponsoring symposiums dealing with digital modes and so forth. We've got a future systems committee that operates with some pretty highly technical people to come up with ideas how we might become more involved with the digital people and basically future systems of future modes of operation. So I think we're on the right road.
And what obstacles do we find, or are there any? I know we've accomplished quite a lot, the ARRL has, in the last year and a half with the congressional group, well, Congress passing the law or passing the resolution about amateur radio spectrum. Is there anything that we have a hurdle coming across that we need as hams to look out for?
Yeah, there's some significant things. First of all, there's a mood in Washington these days for deregulation. And there's always the threat that a lot of the resources from the FCC would be cut down. Obviously, that's an organization, an agency of government that we deal with on a regular basis. If their resources are cut back significantly, that would obviously have an impact on the way we operate and how we interface with Washington. There's also the threat of, and everybody's probably heard about it, especially in ham radio group areas, and that is the auctioning off of spectrum. And we always have to watch that we don't have some of our frequencies auctioned off. Obviously, without frequencies, there's not very much you can do in amateur radio.
No, I know I've heard propositions of getting more HF spectrum, which is always great. And, you know, we don't want to lose the 220 band. Thankfully, we got another megahertz back, and hopefully that continues. The other major stumbling block or obstacle I see in amateur radio is antenna restrictions. You know, that's always a hassle. We're always hearing I know here in the Phoenix metropolitan area, you can't find a new home being built that doesn't have CCNRs preventing you from having an amateur radio antenna.
Well, I think that's really true, Len, of most all of the new subdivisions, no matter where you go. I know we've done a study in California. We found basically the same thing. All of the new tracks will have CCNRs, and preventing everything from keeping your garbage can out more than 8 hours after they've picked up the trash, to parking motorhomes and so forth. And one of the things that they'll include in that, of course, is no outside antennas And that obviously has an impact on us as amateurs. A lot of times those CCNRs are carried over into practice, not to exclude amateur radio so much as it is to facilitate the use of cable TV and a lot of the other wired services delivery that would be delivered to the community. But we try to keep an eye out for those. We've approached the FCC to try to strengthen PRB1, and hopefully that will come about here in the next 6 months or 8 months.
Well, I congratulate you on being the president. I know there's all kinds of we don't like to think of it, but there's all kinds of political things that always go on in the in all big organizations, and hopefully whatever might come up, there's no problems and only make you stronger, and ARRL stronger.
Hope so.
How many members are there now?
About 170, just over 170,000 members.
So, and there's 680,000 hams. So,
well, there's 680,000 on the books. A lot of those hams are not really active, as we know. So we calculate we've got close to 45% or 50% of the active amateurs are members of the league.
What if there was one thing, and I know that's pretty difficult, but if there's one thing that the ARRL is doing that more people benefit than any other service, what do you think that is?
I think our representation in Washington, our representation in the international arena, as you're probably aware, Len, the International Telecommunications Union has a big effect on the frequencies that we operate on as amateurs, and we have to be vigilant, just like we don't lose frequencies in Washington, that we don't lose frequencies on a worldwide basis through treaties. So we always have to be diligent, making sure that the other countries understand the value of amateur radio so that they can foster it in their country and make a place for amateur radio in the ITU.
Well, to put you on the spot, you have a personal opinion about code and HF?
Oh, I enjoy code.
That wasn't the question.
on HF?
Requirement.
Yeah. Well, it is, of course, right now it's required by treaty. Code proficiency. It doesn't state exactly how you have to be proficient in it, but it does require all of the countries to provide a code proficiency test for a license to operate on HF. That's something we're going to be talking about over the next few years, much like we've talked about it over the last few. And I frankly don't see a great deal of change in that over the next few years, but there may come a time.
Well,
down the road when we don't have that requirement. I don't know.
Well, I know New Zealand, of course. I've heard that Oracle and the government in New Zealand is going, or not the government, but the, I don't know actually how New Zealand operates, but whatever
the
body is,
yeah,
the society there, is going to push for that in the next war conference. How successful they are, who knows. But Japan, of course, has so many more hams than we do, and they're getting around the treaty by lowering the output that you can do on HF. And we don't really abide by that treaty 100% because we don't really test anybody for their ability to transmit. We assume that they can transmit if they can receive, and that's not necessarily true.
Well, that's true. It's not necessarily true. I would think in the vast majority of cases, if you can receive it, you can generally send it.
Okay, all right. I won't put you on the spot on that anymore. But all right. Well, I know you have to catch an airplane, and I really appreciate that you were able to stop by here and see our meager settings and what we're doing here is the only radio show out there really on the commercial bands that promotes amateur radio on a weekly basis. Hopefully not on a weekly WEAK basis, but on a weekly basis pretty strongly.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Lennon. Can we switch to 20 meters now?
We can switch to 20, 40, 17, whatever you want, as long as you brought your key here with you.
Right.
But no commercial stuff. Although I do hear certain repeaters are replaying this live all through the United States. And when they call and ask me if it's possible and to do it, it's illegal, but they do it.
Well, it gets the word out.
It gets the word out. So anyway, we are on a station, I don't know if you know, right near Newington, Connecticut. We're on WATR, which is a very successful station for us. We get a lot of comments, and that's right near Newington and Waterford.
Very good. Very
so,
good.
All the ARRL people can hear. And we just had a few people on. We had Rosalie White, Ham of the Year on 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Hare, we had him on twice in the last 6 weeks.
Excellent.
So we try to do a lot with the ARRL, and I encourage everybody to join.
Absolutely. I encourage that. I'll second that motion.
What's the phone number?
The phone number is area code for 203-594-0200.
If somebody wanted to contact you on email, Do you have email address?
Use my my address on email on the internet. They can send it to Kilo Bravo 6 Zulu Victor at ARRL.org.
Okay.
Statistics prove that there is no such thing as a good or a bad memory, just a trained or an untrained memory. You virtually remember everything that you see, hear, read, or even think about. The problem, though, is recalling that information. This is Kevin Trudeau, founder of the American Memory Institute, the world's largest memory training school. You see, everyone has a perfect photographic memory. It's just waiting to be released. Imagine having the memory power to be able to meet 50 people and remember all their names. A powerful memory in business means money, and in school means straight A's with less study time. Over 2 million people have already benefited from the easy-to-learn Mega Memory Home Study course. Now, it's your turn.
Call 1-800-801-0327. That's 1-800-801-0327 to develop your own Mega Memory. Start with this phone number, 1-800-801-0327.
Howdy, I'm Dave Copel, and this is the Bill of Rights Report. Today's Bill of Rights Report is sponsored by the American Shooting Sports Council. Astute gun owners have long realized that repressive gun laws anywhere threaten gun owners everywhere. The strategy of the anti-gun groups is to use repressive local laws as building blocks for repressive national laws. That's how the Brady Bill was enacted. Once 22 states had implemented some sorts of waiting period for handgun purchasers, enacting a national waiting period became a lot easier. One reason was that pro-gun Congress people from states with waiting periods often didn't put much effort into resisting a law which would not affect people in the congressperson's home state. Conversely, victories for the right to keep and bear arms in one jurisdiction build momentum for victories elsewhere. The most important trend in gun legislation this year has been the enactment of concealed handgun carry laws. 28 states, accounting for 45% of the American population, now have laws which guarantee that licensed, trained citizens who apply for a permit to carry a handgun and who pass a background check must be given a permit. Permits can be denied to people who are not qualified, but they can't be denied simply because some bureaucrat doesn't like people being able to protect themselves. The states that have enacted concealed carry laws this year are Arkansas, Nevada, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, and Utah. In addition, Virginia strengthened its carry law to prevent government officials in the suburbs of northern Virginia from illegally refusing to issue permits. Pennsylvania had enacted carry reform in 1989 and made the law applicable everywhere in the state except Philadelphia. This year, the Pennsylvania legislature removed Philadelphia's exemption, so now Philadelphians have as much right as anybody else in Pennsylvania to get a carry permit.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Len Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Okay, welcome back to Ham Radio and More. This is Len Winkler, KB7 LPW. And our phone number is 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. I really appreciate that. Rod Stafford, the president of ARRL, KB6ZV, was here, and we did change the venue a little bit. Ken Britton, WA5VJB, welcome to Ham Radio and More. Are you there?
Yes, Lynn. Thank you.
Okay, sorry to do that to you, but if we have a guest of that magnitude, especially a new president, I really need to go to him, and I really appreciate that he was able to stop by on his way to the airport. Kent is an RF applications engineer for Tektronix, and he attributes this position to his ham radio background. He was first licensed back in 1968. He's written many, many articles and pages in the ARRL handbooks for the last 10 to 11 years. He's a member of the ARRL Spectrum Management Committee. He looks at future band plans. He's a founding member of the North Texas Microwave Society and dedicated to bands above 900 megahertz. He's active on all bands from 160 meters to 24 gigahertz. And He has WAS, Wichdahl States, on 50 and 144 megahertz. Now, what I find intriguing is not only has he done 2-meter moon bounce, which is not commonplace, but much more commonplace than 10-meter, but he's done, 10 gigahertz, but he's done 10 gigahertz moon bounce, which we'll get into also. And he now has 6 states and 8 countries on 10 gigahertz, which is mind-boggling. Welcome to Ham Radio and More again, Kent.
Thank you, Lynn. And in the last few hours, that total has changed. I've made 5 contacts this weekend off the moon on 10 gigahertz.
Yes, there was a major activity, in Canada?
That's what started it, and everyone else got on the air. So there was a lot of people on.
Okay, let's since we're going to move through this rapidly, since we've cut down the program by a 20 or so percent, what frequencies are we talking about when we talk about microwaves?
Well, mathematically, we would be talking about anything above 3,000 megahertz to 30,000 megahertz. But for amateur works, we just consider everything above 900 megahertz to be either UHF or the microwave band.
Okay. And it's such a small wavelength. I mean, when we talk about microwaves, isn't it just line of sight?
That is a very common misnomer.
Oh.
Back in the days when people were running 1/100th of a watt modulated oscillators and a diode receiver, their microwave stations were pretty much line of sight. Of course, I challenge you to get on 20 meters with 1/100th of a watt modulated oscillator and see how far you get. But today we're running many watts. Our receivers are extremely sensitive. My microwave receivers on the average are 10 times more sensitive than a typical HF rig. And because we don't have all that static and background, it's all usable sensitivity. Now those very weak signals out over there that used to be uncopyable are a full S9. We have no problems getting on the microwave bands and flatland to flatland talking 200 miles any time of the day or night.
200 miles anytime?
Anytime.
Now, what kind of antenna do you need? How much power do you need?
A couple of watts and something between a 1- and 2-foot dish.
So with all these, with this just small little bit of equipment, you can go 200 miles?
Yes. Where all the gas-fed preamps, the extremely low-noise amplifiers on the front end of the receivers help. Those things that allow you to pick up geostationary satellites with a little 18-inch dish is the technology we're using for picking up weak signals.
And when you're talking about this, are you referring to what modes are we discussing?
Typically CW and single sideband.
Okay, so there is voice going on.
Yes.
But not when you do 10 gigahertz moon bounce.
Well, I did listen to a single sideband QSO this weekend. But it takes about 10 times more power to run single sideband as it takes to run CW. Any of the QRPers will tell you 1 watt of CW will out-talk 10 watts of sideband. So when you've got a pretty big dish and a fair amount of power, and you realize you got to have something 10 times bigger to run voice, we tend to muddle through with CW.
Amazing. Okay. Could you briefly tell us what the Doppler shift is and why it's so important with microwaves?
Well, this is not particularly a problem on the terrestrial links, but it is a problem with moon bounce. The moon is a moving target, and if a police radar was looking at it, it would be getting a Doppler shift of somewhere around 1,000 miles an hour. So this means that when I transmit out a signal, it comes back about 25 kilohertz away.
Okay. So you got to keep watching what's going on.
You run split DFOs a lot.
Okay, we're going to take a station ID, and then we'll be right back with Kent Britton. And you can call and ask your questions about microwave. This is the Microwave Guru today, Kent Britton, WA5VJB, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255.
Hey, did you hear about the big trade news?
You mean that huge blockbuster trade in the NBA?
No.
Oh, so you must mean that United States-Japan trade.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Okay, welcome back to Ham Radio and More. 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. I want to remind people, next week, August 26th, Saturday, there's a major convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Duke City Ham Fest. There's tons of people there. If you want more information, call 505-821-2771. Also, Labor Day weekend, remember, the Southwest Division Convention on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Let's go to the phones. Wes Brown, N7 VIP, listening to us on KBNP in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for holding, Wes.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the show again, Len. Now, as for you talk about the small dishes, now I kind of wonder how are these aimed to achieve that 200-mile range? Are like just, you know, pointed up towards some clear sky? Or like aiming for like a heel or something like that to bounce off of, or what?
Typically, they're pointed right at the horizon edge itself, although I did hear a signal out of Beaverton, Oregon, earlier this morning from Mr. Tom Hill. So he was doing it by pointing it at the moon. But you have atmospheric imperfections. Every time you see a cloud, that's a density change in the atmosphere. So when the signals hit those density changes, it's like light bouncing off of waves on the water, and it scatters. So you're bouncing it just off of density changes in the atmosphere.
Yeah, what I'm kind of wondering is, I'm kind of in a ground floor apartment, and I have sky available, you know, outside front, and I can set something out in front of the apartment. I'm just curious if I could set up a little dish like on a simple antenna stand, you know, how much, you know, what can I really expect to be able to do with it?
Well, if you're living down in a hole, this is going to be somewhat of a challenge, whether you're on 160 meters or a microwave. Most people who live in apartments such as you tend to operate a lot of portable. In other words, they build a lot of the equipment, make it portable, put it in their vehicles, and then run out to Mount Shasta or something like that when the things get exciting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this sounds pretty interesting. You know, especially the small antennas, is real attractive.
Well, you run into some problems when you get the really big antennas. When you have even, like on the 10 gigahertz band, when you're looking at an 18-inch dish, the antenna is only about 4 to 5 degrees beam width, so it's very narrow. When you start getting even bigger antennas, you're getting something that's about like a laser beam out there, and it's a real challenge to point. When we're playing moon bounce games, we're using typically about a 10-foot dish, and the beam width coming out of those is about half a degree. And you have to point them very carefully. I have a rifle scope mounted to my dish and keep the moon in the crosshairs.
Huh. Now, are they doing packet-on microwave?
No one has done that at this time, to my knowledge.
Oh, you can be a new groundbreaker there, Wes.
Okay, I kind of wonder, what license class is required?
No code tech and above.
Oh, I'll be darned. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Well, sure, Wes. Anything over 30 megahertz, all you need is a no-code license.
Your callers are having a hard time hearing the guest.
Okay, well, we're having a problem today. So bear with us, Wes.
Okay, anyway, I wanted to see about picking up a prize, too.
Okay, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255.
This is AM 1510 KFNN.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler. KB7 LPW.
We're talking today to Ken Britton at WA5 VJB, and we're discussing microwaves, the frequencies that are high up there in the spectrum. And our phone number is 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. Kent, at these high frequencies, does normal coax and normal connectors work, or do we have to be real concerned with that stuff?
Well, you tend to use very little RG58. It gets rather lossy up there. But most of your heliaxes tend to work pretty good. And what works even better is called waveguide, where you're actually having a tube that's the same size as the wave, or half of the wave, and you're shooting the signal down that tube. Most people consider that a little difficult to find. Fortunately, 3/4-inch copper water pipe works just fine, and we pick those up at the hardware store.
Okay. You know, when I spoke to you on the telephone, you said something about an old radar detector and the things you can do with it. Would you explain that? That is mind-boggling.
Well, most people don't realize exactly how the typical radar detector is constructed. They have a local oscillator in there, which is being used to excite a mixing diode. The problem is there is nothing keeping the local oscillator inside the radar detector. Most radar detectors tend to run about 1/4 watt ERP. Many of them should probably have some type of warning signal on them. But they are themselves transmitters. That's why it's so easy to have a radar detector in some states. What we'll do is we'll go in there and we'll take that local oscillator and just tune it so that it's back inside the ham band, change the frequency of the IF, and commonly use old police radar detectors as 10 gigahertz ham rigs.
It sounds too easy.
Why should it be hard?
Okay, well, I can't imagine that people aren't doing this. Is there, are there books or something that you would recommend people reading?
It's been the ARRL has published quite a few of the UHF experimenters' manuals, and there's also some very nice publications which are sold through the ARRL, which come from the RSGB out of England. And another unit which is very easily modified and also commonly available are burglar alarms and door openers. So that little giz widget that opens the door for you down at the supermarket, we've used those to talk 50 miles.
Amazing. Okay. What about meteor scatter on microwaves?
The highest frequency where a complete two-way ham QSO has been done is 432 megahertz. Mm. There have been some signals heard at 900. Military studies say we might be able to do it a little higher, but it's really challenging to do meteor scatter above 2 meters or 220 megahertz.
Okay. Are we in the United States ahead, behind, or equal to people throughout the world on microwave?
That's interesting on how you do it. If you go to, like, Germany, they have some very sophisticated amateur kits. That's because all military and all commercial surplus is, by law, crushed. Here we can get the scrap telephone links, we can get remains of military radars, and we can use these to build our stations. So most of the high-power moonbound stations in the world are here in the United States, and there's a lot of very big stations. There tend to be a large number of smaller stations available in Europe.
Okay. I think we're going to take a break now. Darren, we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of people holding on the line, and we're going to find out more about microwaves. We've got a couple, I think one or two lines open, so you can give us a call at 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255, and we're talking microwaves today. I want to tell you about a product that almost every ham should have but isn't talked about too much, insurance. Ham Radio Insurance Associates is an agency that offers a specialty policy underwritten by an A-rated top 20 insurance company. The replacement cost protection insurance they offer is the best on the market today. In addition to your radios, they cover your computers, cellular phones, towers, antennas, rotors. They can even provide extended warranty coverage, and all this with very low rates, no membership fees, no administrative fees, and a low deductible of only $50 for most losses. In addition, your equipment is covered in your home, car, boat, anywhere at all, from fire, lightning, theft, collision, and other accidents. And all claims are adjusted in their office by hams, hams that know the industry and really get you what your equipment is worth. To find out more about the cost and coverage and why so many hams are switching to Ham Radio Insurance Associates, give them a call today toll-free at 1-800-545-8881. That's 1-800-545-8881. Ham Radio Insurance Associates, 1-800-545-8881. Len Winkler here for 73 Amateur Today magazine. Do you want to read an informative magazine each month dealing with amateur radio that's easy to read? One that gives easy-to-understand reviews, teaches you to build projects that are fun and useful, provides editorials that are right on the money with current happenings in amateur radio? then 73 Magazine is the one for you. With contributing editors like Jim Gray, W1XU, Joe Mel, K0OV, Carol Perry, WB2MGP, and others, 73 Magazine is for the new ham, the veteran ham, and even the ham-to-be. You'll find articles dealing with DFing, propagation, satellites, and so much more. So call now to subscribe at big savings off the newsstand price. Call 1-800-289-0388. That's 1-800-289-0388. It's worth the price just to read the great editorials by the man himself, publisher Wayne Green. So call now and mention Ham Radio and More. 1-800-289-0388. Call right now.
Hello, listeners. Jeff Backoff for Universal Commodity Corporation with a commodity...
For Internet users, whether you're a beginner just logging on or an advanced user, Internet World will serve as your guide to the Internet. Every issue of Internet World brings you the latest hot sites on the Internet, tips on downloading free software like the hit game Doom, plus information-filled columns and fascinating interviews with Internet personalities. Internet World shows you how to do research on the Internet, shop online, play games, meet people with mutual interests, and much more. In short, Internet World gives you all the information you need to help you make the most of your time on the Internet. Internet World, the first and largest magazine devoted entirely to the Internet. New subscribers can now take advantage of this special introductory offer. 12 monthly issues for only $14.97. That's 75% off the newsstand price.
Call now, toll free, 800-706-7900. That's 800-706-7900.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler. KB7 LPW.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More. Again, our phone number is 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. Next week, we're going to talk about insurance. You may or may not think that's interesting, but I think you'll find the way that we're going to discuss it is very interesting, so don't miss next week's show. Let's go right to the phones, and again, we have a couple lines available at 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. We're talking to Kent Britton, WA5VJB, about microwaves. Len, listening to us again on KBNP in Portland, Oregon, WB7UNV. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi there. By the way, it's WB7UNU. Hello, Kent.
Hello.
Did you, Mr. Hurd. Did you hear us at all this weekend?
Yes, I did. You had a nice signal off the moon.
Great, okay.
Another moon bouncer, huh?
That's right, another Tektronix employee, just in a different city, too.
Okay.
We had an unfortunate problem where we heard people real well, but we couldn't get back to some of them. We found out that the amplifier of Tom's WA3RMXs has apparently died, no helix current, so we switched over to a 20-watt amp instead of a 250-watt amp, and we're still unable to make any contacts on Sunday, so... Oh, well, I guess if it just plugged together and worked, it wouldn't be that much fun.
Well, Lynn, it was your first try. I look forward to working you as your system matures.
Okay.
Lynn, how strong are you on 10 gigahertz, and do you do 2-meter also?
No, this is the only moon bounce we've done is we went right to 10 gigahertz, but we've done things with the Tektronix Ham Club up through 47 gigahertz for point-to-point stuff.
Okay, and what kind of distances have you been able to obtain?
Oh, I think 47 gigahertz, we did 18 miles, I think, is our max distance on that with a few microwatts of power is all we can manage.
Okay, now let me ask both of you. Now, you're talking about 47 gigahertz, and, you know, Kent is talking 24 gigahertz and 10 gigahertz moon bounce. How high are you guys doing? Where's work ending? I mean, are they up to, I don't know how high you can go.
A couple of guys in Massachusetts just set a new record at 121 gigahertz. That would be 121,000 megahertz. And there's some Europeans who are doing work at 240 gigahertz. That's about a quarter of a terahertz.
I hate to ask how big a full wavelength antenna would be.
Well, if you want to... That's why it's referred to as the millimeter band. We're talking about a 32nd of an inch.
A 32nd of an inch. Okay. Len, anything else?
No, that's it. Just wanted to make contact with Kent since we were unable to this weekend. So it was about a 32-hour weekend with about 3 hours of sleep in there.
Well, it sounds interesting. So you've made a QSO, even if it was via landline.
That's right.
Okay, thanks, Len, for calling. Well, okay, let's go to Dave, KI7ZU, in listening to us in Phoenix, KFNN. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon. I have a question. Is it true that microwaves can be, in some parts of the body, hazardous? In other words, like the eyes and some of the softer tissues of the body.
Only when we're talking about significant powers, there has to be enough energy there to actually heat the tissues. If you reach over and you stick your hand inside a toaster, you can cook it. If you put your hand inside the waveguide of a 100-watt amplifier, you can cook it. Once you're standing back a few feet away, the power densities drop to virtually nothing, and it's not any more hazardous than any other voltages around your shack.
So these little handy talkies that work on 1.2 gigahertz are no more harmful than the other handy talkies that work on 2 meters.
We're talking about as much heat energy as what you would have in a handheld flashlight. It's going to be pretty hard to cook anything with that.
I see. There's supposed to be a formula that says something signal strength plus wavelength or something like that. How does that go?
I don't know the formula off the top of my head, but as long as you're running less than 50 watts or so in that walkie-talkie held in front of your face, it's going to be pretty hard to cook anything. Again, I wouldn't stick a 100-watt light bulb in my eye, and I wouldn't put a 100 watts in an antenna in my eye either. Both would cook it. But when we're talking fractions of a watt to a watt, there has never been a conclusive study that shows any biological damage.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, Dave, thanks for calling. Okay, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. Lines are open. Talk about microwaves. I think that microwaves, do you have an estimate for how many people are even involved in this, Kent?
Well, the North Texas Microwave Society has 425 members.
Okay.
I can't say how many are in the total United States, but we have 425 members.
And what do you see as the fascination for microwaves? I mean, you're not able to talk, or I shouldn't say this, but what's the distance record?
There's one station there in Cave Creek, Arizona, not very far from you, who only needs South America for worked all continents. Not uncommon to talk thousands of miles when we get these tropo band openings.
Okay, is there any kind of a propagation program or something? How do we know when those openings are coming? I know that it's very few and far between.
There are some programs which would predict it, but it's difficult to know all the weather data between, say, here and Minnesota. Just a few weeks ago, one of the local Dallas stations, WB5LUA, worked all the way up into Minnesota on 3.4 gigahertz. So the signals go a very long way when we have openings. Typically what we will do is monitor other UHF services, and when you start hearing carriers from UHF stations out of Chicago and so forth, then we start getting all the stuff warmed up.
Do you have certain frequencies already set aside that are more or less calling frequencies on all these different bands?
Yes, we do. They're all harmonically related to 144.0. This goes back to the way the varactor multipliers were used 30 and 40 years ago, and we've retained those as the calling frequencies. These are published in various ARRL publications.
Okay. And if people want to get, just because we tend to run out of time here, if people want to get a hold of you, Kent, do you have an email address, or how could people get a hold of you?
I'll be happy to answer any letters. I'm good in the call book going back almost 15 years.
Okay, and that's WA5VJB. All right, so now if someone just wanted to start getting into microwaves, what kind of expense are we looking at?
Well, that's like asking how much does it cost to get into QRP. You can pick up a police radar detector at a garage sale for, what, $2, $3? For your IF, you can use the Ramsey 10-meter FM receiver. Makes a very nice IF. So you can put together a station for under $40.
For under $40. Okay, the dish, what kind of a dish or antenna should they use or could they use?
It's usually nice to find something surplus or something commercial, but there have been a lot of people who've gone down to the local Walmart or something like that and find out a nice salad bowl or wok that's pretty close to parabolic and use those.
You're kidding.
Not at a bowl.
And, it's amazing.
The Yagis get quite small up on some of the lower microwave frequencies, and a lot of stations still use Yagis down there.
What do you use for 10 gigahertz moon bounce?
I have a 10-foot dish and a good surface 10-foot dish, and 20 watts can hear echoes off the moon.
And what are you using for a transceiver?
I'm using pieces of a German transverter that was built some years ago, coming down to an ICOM 251 2-meter sideband rig.
So you're not currently using a radar detector?
Not for moon bounce. It does not quite have the performance. We did run some mathematics out, and we figured that my EME station could set off a fuzz buster at about 5,000 miles.
And you were the first one involved in a 10 gigahertz moon bounce QSO.
I was one end of the first QSO.
Right, well, you couldn't be both ends.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or an investment diamond, then shop around. Get your best price, then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10 days no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest price diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
It's good to have a strong business partner. Just ask Jerry Harris and Bob Skolnick of Harris Skolnick & Associates Insurance Agency. Both came west to attend Arizona State University. They wound up as roommates and a relationship that grew into a 30-year business association. The two partners knew they needed still another partner to help guide them through the changing maze of Arizona's business environment. M&I Thunderbird Bank was just what they were looking for. A bank that boasts stability, a tradition of personal banking here in Arizona since 1965. M&I Thunderbird Bank, while continuing to grow in strength and stature, still is small enough to emphasize one-to-one relationships. Is this the kind of partner you'd like for your business? M&I Thunderbird Bank will take the time to get to know both you and your business needs. Harris Skolnick found out it's good to have a strong business partner. You can find out, too, by calling M&I Thunderbird Bank at 241-6500.
The Phoenix Law Firm of Jennings, Strauss, and Salmon has been serving business clients in Arizona and the southwestern United States for more than 50 years. We offer an international law practice to assist clients in their efforts to conduct business activities in Mexico and other foreign countries. We are proud to announce we have recently enhanced our ability to provide international service. Gerald Alston, one of our senior members, is now residing in Mexico City and is working with a large Mexican law firm to assist U.S. businesses with their activities in Mexico. If you need legal assistance with your business activities in Mexico, or if you would like more information about our international law practice, please contact Garrett Steenblick, chair of Jennings, Strauss, and Salmon's International Law Group at 262-5846. That's 262-5846.
C
CQ, CQ, CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. We're talking today to Kent Britton, WA5VJB in Texas, discussing microwaves. People keep asking for my email address. My email address is lenwink, L-E-N-W-I-N-K, that's L-E-N-W-I-N-K, at indirect, I-N-D-I-R-E-C-T, .com. Lenwink at indirect.com, my email, and I respond almost immediately, or at least that same day usually. Okay, we're talking about microwaves. And, Kent, the reason that that I was bringing up how many people were on the microwave band is, you know, if we don't, I've heard the phrase, if we don't use them, we lose them. And I'm just wondering, since it seems that the Motorolas and all the big companies of the world want to get our spectrum and are willing to pay millions and billions of dollars for it, I'm just wondering what we can do to preserve those frequencies.
Well, we're doing what we can to promote activity. Most of the microwave assignments are also shared with military users. And the Air Force and other Strategic Air Command have been very, very good partners in helping us protect some of our frequency assignments.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just wondering, I just don't see, and I may just be totally out of it, but I just don't see a whole lot. Now, there may be, you know, pockets of it, but a whole lot of use on these real high frequencies. And I'm just wondering how we can get more and more people to experiment with it.
Well, it wasn't that many years ago that even 400 megahertz was considered to be the upper useless frequencies.
Force.
Meters up in these areas. So it's growing up, and we're trying to do what we can to show people how easy it is and how simple it is. Again, I'd like to put in a plug for the ARRL. There's a lot of lovely publications that they put out that cover these points very well. And we're doing what we can to encourage activity and get word out that we are actually using these higher frequencies. The potentials are incredible. One of these days, ICOM will come out with their little IC-10 or whatever it is, multi-band microwave talkie, and you're going to have to be very careful figuring out how to use it because you're going to have room for 160,000 channels.
Well, the only thing I can see is who wants to put a microwave HT to their head?
Again, shouldn't be that much of a problem. It again is, you know, you don't want to have 20 watts coming out of that HT, but low powers. And an easy thing to do on these frequencies would be directional antennas shooting away from you.
Any microwave FM?
Quite a bit. The simpler systems are all FM. There's a variety of repeaters around here. And I can tell you from personal experience, we've done a lot of mobile work in the 2.3 gigahertz band, the 5 gigahertz band, and the 10 gigahertz band. And the systems work just fine mobile. You can drive around through the middle of town talking all over the place. The buildings just scatter the signals all over the place, and you can't hide. You can drive into underground parking lots, and it continues to bounce out.
Well, I know that at 2.4 gigahertz, the 2-meter repeaters won't be complaining when ATV is up there.
all that ATV is FM, which works so much better than AM/TV anymore.
Right. Okay. Looks like we're going to say goodbye, Ken, till next time. I want to thank you for being a guest on our show today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lynn.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for listening. Next week, we're going to talk about insurance and more, and we've got some good shows coming up. So 73, America, from what I'm told, we're going to go. I don't hear my music, though, and there it is. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And 73, world, and those of you listening to us on tape delay shortwave, 73 to you too, and see you next week.
I'll tell you.
I know Darren, for instance, my board op here, he wants to come just to see Ronald McDonald.
Well.
And after the first hour and all the things that were going and the quality of the sound and stuff, you know, we need to check out something else. I mean, you know, it's just, we got to upgrade somewhere.
That's right.
It wasn't Darren's fault, though. I want to emphasize that.
Well, okay, then it's your fault.
No, actually, it's this stinky little thing that the wire has a short.
Well, that's the way it goes. The other thing I wanted to point out is a week or so ago, I was at a computer convention, and we were talking up ham radio.
Yes, we were.
As a matter of fact, you were there.
Yes.
And we have, well, I don't have the list in front of me, but about 15 teachers that would really like some hams to come out to their school, and the and part's a little difficult because some of them don't have a clue of what ham radio is, and so whether it's a demonstration or just, you know, kind of sit down with them after school and kind of sound them out what they'd like to do with the class. And while we're out at fair, I would sure like to sign up some hams that would be willing to donate a day someday to go out to one of the elementary or junior high schools here and give a demonstration of ham radio. I'll do a few of them, but since I work the same hours, it's kind of difficult for me to get the day off. And
well, of course, I volunteer.
Yeah, well, you always do that, and you know how much fun that is.
It is.
And it's not as hard as it looks. It's you get a lot of strokes for going there. Everyone appreciates it. The kids appreciate it, and the teachers appreciate it. And all of a sudden, we've just doubled the number of kids in the Valley that are aware of ham radio, just with a few of us going out to the schools.
That's right. I think that's great. I know I had a good time there. I wasn't there on Sunday. I don't know how. I mean, on Saturday. It was Thursday and Friday, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Okay, Friday. Was that a good day?
Yeah, it was about the same as Thursday. By the
Excellent.
Way, we did get on TV that night.
Did you?
He did do it. It was our little 3-second clip.
Uh-huh. Well, that was nice.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, I didn't get the chance to see it, of course, because I was with you. So.
Right.
And I forgot to tell anybody to turn it on, but that's good. You always get your mug on TV.
Well, it's not me. It's the ham radio thing. It's amazing. All you have to do is be
Talk
in an unusual
up.
Place. Hey, we should have the news people out at fair.
Well, I did send that guy the information.
All right.
So hopefully, hopefully we can get some publicity. Obviously, the thing you said that's most important, that the FARE, F-A-R-E, it stands for the Family Amateur Radio Event. It is, in
Absolutely.
Fact. It is, in fact, the only event that takes place in the Phoenix area that has demonstrations, all kinds of demonstrations.
Right.
And I'll be getting to that as time goes on, which isn't that far away. September 16th, it's only 4 weeks away.
Yeah, and with the kids being free, if there's a Boy Scout leaders or Boy Scout troops or teachers or something like that, I'm sure if they contact you, there'd be a way that they can get in even more inexpensive than inexpensive as it is.
Yes, and that's exactly right. And if people want to call me during the week, they should just leave their name and phone number here at 241-1510, 241-1510 during normal business hours, and I will certainly get back to them. And of course, if they're on internet, as I give my internet address, that's the easiest way to contact me, Lenwink, Lenwink at indirect. indirect.com. And you have an email address, too, if people want to write to you, Ellen.
Well, I do, but they have to remember my name for this one. It's A. Cameron, A-C-A-M-E-R-O-N, A. Cameron, and then at Hayden, like the high school, .edu.
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
So I can even remember that.
Well.
A. Cameron at Hayden.edu.
Very good. And anything we can do to help bring kids, publicize this, let's go from 2.5% of the hams in Arizona being under 20. Let's kind of start pushing that up. Incidentally, Utah, over 7% of the hams are under 20.
Really?
So they're doing something we're not. They don't let people keep their licenses, I guess, for more than 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, when they get 20, they take them away from them.
That's right. That's right. You hit 40 years old, and you have to move to Arizona.
Well, thank you for bringing up FARE, and we'll talk more about it again in the coming weeks.
You bet.
Thanks a lot
Bye-bye.
For all your help, and we have a FARE meeting in, I think, 2 weeks.
We'll be there.
Okay.
And our new extra class president.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, 230-2755. We'll be right back. We'll also talk to Terry when we get back, and you can be next, too.
I'd like to extend a personal invitation to Valley investors who are serious about their money and want to benefit from the opportunities in today's commodity markets. My name is Tom Lamson, President of Western Federal Group. We are a local, full-service commodities firm serving Valley investors since 1979. Our brokerage staff averages nearly a decade of commodity trading knowledge and experience. Some were former New York Exchange floor brokers and market makers. The Western Federal approach is simple. We won't bribe you with another free report promising outlandish returns or hype seasonal markets and trendy headlines. What we will do is impress you with our professional service and market knowledge. Of course, there are risks in trading commodities and only risk capital should be used. But if you're serious about your money and would prefer to deal with an experienced local commodities firm rather than a faceless out-of-town name, call Western Federal at 998-1000. That's 998-1000. Or visit our Scottsdale office and ask for me, Tom Lamson.
Organizations today face pressures from shrinking margins, intensifying competition, and higher customer expectations. Executives and managers are looking for ways to achieve a better business advantage. Information technology can play a key role in this process and can contribute to your organization's productivity and growth. Choosing a computer network operating system can be complicated with today's networking environment. Training Solutions has trained thousands of network professionals on Novell and Microsoft products over the past 5 years. But which network operating system will meet the demands of your business? The training professionals at Training Solutions believes there's only one way to find out. Get trained. Before you decide on your computer's network operating system, make sure you understand all the features by getting trained at Training Solutions. Call 431-1100. That's Training Solutions at 431-1100.
Hi, I'm Milt Barnes, your host for Eye on Wall Street, your Sunday morning investment show that gives straight answers to your questions. Join me at 10 a.m. on KFNN, 1510 a.m.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
And we're back to Ham Radio and More. For those of you who missed the first hour, the beginning of the show with Rod Stafford, the new president of ARRL, was kind of neat. He was able to stop by KB6ZV on his way to the airport. I was really happy to see him here. And we were able to discuss a little about the ARRL. And I was kind of encouraged that that he didn't completely put the kibosh, let's just say, on the possibility of discussing Morse code and the requirement for general and advanced, maybe lowering the code speed or doing something along those lines. So that was kind of neat that we were able to talk about that. And I was kind of happy to have met Mr. Stafford since I've never met him before. I just want to mention again, since Fair was brought up, the Family Amateur Radio event, it is Saturday, September 16th, 1995. Remember, the Ham Fest, the regular swap meet portion, does begin at 6 a.m. in the arena area. And so if you do want to tailgate, if you want to sell merchandise, you know, your used equipment, come on down. And that starts at 6 a.m. in the morning. And then, of course, the pavilion opens at 9 a.m. And this is at Rawhide. And Rawhide is 4 miles north of Bell Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. There's going to be a Mars booth there. There's going to be an AMSAT booth there. There's going to be a 6-meter station operating, an HF station operating, packet station operating, NTS traffic station. There's going to be a T-hunt demonstration. That's right, DFing, T-hunting. There's going to be a vehicle there. Bill and Bonnie Pinup are going to be there, and they're going to have their vehicle there, which has a Doppler and a beam. You're going to see how they do some DFing. There's going to be there's going to be the ARRL forum there. There's going to be an ARCA meeting there. In fact, I got to find out exactly what time that ARCA meeting is going to take place. The Arizona Division of the American Red Cross Disaster Services, they'll be there. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. A lot of the clubs are going to be there. There's a lot of stuff being given away. Ronald McDonald at 10 o'clock. Sheriff Arpaio, I believe, is going to be there to make a to give a little talk at about 11 o'clock. There's going to be the posse there, of course, if you want to join or learn more about the sheriff's posse, communication posse. That's going to be there. There's going to be commercial vendors there. And there's going to be a dunk tank there. That's right, a dunk tank. And I heard that Cliff Hauser, the Arizona section manager for the ARRL, he's going to be in the dunk tank, too. So, along with me at certain times and others. So, it's going to be kind of neat in the dunk tank. I heard there might even be some young ladies in the dunk tank. So, some of you guys want... Oh, see, Darren's eyes lit up. He wants to go. See, I knew he wanted tickets. Our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755, 1-800-293-KFNN. And give us a call, get online, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about in amateur radio. This is a perfect time to discuss whatever it is that interests you about amateur radio, whatever you want to know about that I can help with. Of course, if you ask too technical a question, I'll probably punt till next week. But anyway. All right. Terry, AA7ZS, welcome. How you doing today?
Well, just fine, Lynn.
How's married life treating you?
Just great. 2 weeks ago, I was put on hold, and, of course, the time ran out. I had a question to ask. I found out about it in the meantime because we went for a honeymoon in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't sure if we could take our HTs or not, but we definitely could.
Yes, absolutely.
And we were walking down the road, and I saw a big beam up on a tower. So we went up and knocked on the door, and we told them we were hams. And they invited us in. We stayed there for an hour, showing us the shack and making a really nice friendship there. And then we went outside and talked for another half hour about his tower. So really friendly people up in Canada. But what I'm asking a question today, Lynn, is that with this local weather we're having, the storms in the evening and the heavy winds and stuff, which creates electricity on your line, and you have to disconnect your coax all the time, what about those coax switches that have a grounding plug on them? Would those work in this type of monsoon winds and stuff?
Well, of course, my technical gurus aren't here today, so I don't have the answer for you. But, of course, maybe somebody out there does have the answer.
Because it's a hassle, you know, to have to unplug all the coax and
put
them back in after the storm's over.
I do know that Ned has said on previous shows that when the weather is such that it looks like it's going to have lightning possibility, that he does take off all his connectors and removes them. And I know John, NJ7E, has told me that he does that too.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure that this other thing you're talking about will work or not. Of course, I don't know.
Yeah, but, I don't either. In QST, some of the real heavy-duty coax switches have a ground on it, and I was wondering if that would suffice, you know.
You know, we've had on the show the guy from Polyphaser, and he, of course, also would know, but I know that when we had him, and it was about a year ago in December, he always said, if you feel there's lightning, if there's a chance of it striking a tower near, disconnect everything. I mean, that's his first statement. And he said, I don't care what kind of a grounding system you have, disconnect.
Uh-huh.
Now,
okay. You
know, again, I don't know
based
on the exact equipment you're referring to.
Well, HF and 2 meters.
No, but I understand. But I'm just saying what you're saying you saw in QST,
oh, yeah,
whether those items,
coax switches.
Right? If those particular switches will work or not, you know, I would certainly disconnect mine.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
If
there's a technical guru out there who has an answer about those switches, give us a call 230-2755 because Terry
is curious,
but he's also going to undo and unconnect his...
I have to for now.
Yes.
And one other thing, when we're put on hold,
yes,
the audio is real, real low. Like I have to strain to hear you.
Darren, is there a way to... There's nothing we can do.
Well, I understand you were having problems. I heard that earlier. But anyway, it was real hard to hear you. So. Hey, Lynn, have a good day.
Okay, Terry. Thanks for calling.
Let me talk.
Okay, well, Bye-bye. Thanks for talking. Bye. Okay, 230-2755. If anybody has an answer for that, give us a call. 230-2755, 1-800-293-5366. And I certainly invite your participation because all the lines are now opened. So you can certainly give us a call. Otherwise, I'm going to have to look for something to talk to you about. Now, Oh, yes, we're going to go right. I know what it is. We've got Lee Finkel, KY7 Mike, with his DX update, which we were not able to get to him and do during our first hour. So for your DX people out there or people who want to get into DX, here's the stations and here's what's going on. Lee, are you there?
Finkel, KY7M, with the weekly DX update. There's been a lot of activity the past week, and have heard the station on from Vietnam very regularly. 3W5 Fox Mike has been on 40 meters CW early in the morning, around 1300 to 1400 Zulu at the low end of 40 meters CW. And a lot of activity from 3Delta2 Papa Norway out in the Pacific, I think on Fiji Island. He's been quite active on 30 meters on CW and has also been spotted on a number of other bands. There'll be activity coming up from Ivory Coast. JK4ZLE will operate as TU4 Fox Bravo August 17th until September 8th, mostly CW 7 kilohertz up from the bottom of the bands. He'll operate outside the U.S. extra-class subbands as well. QSLs go to his home call. And Buzz N5FTR is heading to the Cayman Islands. He'll be operating from Grand Cayman September 3rd through the 9th on sideband only, 40 through 10 meters. Look for him especially around 14195. And from St. Martin, Mike Zane, K6URI, will be portable PJ7 September 9th through the 23rd, 40, 20, and 15 meters, both CW and sideband, and some operation in the 40-meter novice subband. A couple of short notes. There is some continuing operation in the Middle East. ZP5ALI from Paraguay is active from Syria at portable YK1 and from Egypt as portable SU1 between August 22nd and September 3rd. And from Turkey, a couple of German stations, TA4/DL1GRO and DL1GST, will be operating until August 29th, mostly on CW. Activity from Macedonia by a couple of German stations also, Z38, portable DL1SCQ and DL2SCQ. And XU6TQ is a Netherlands station who's going to be operating there in September for a couple of weeks from Myanmar in the Middle East. Final note, the crew that went to St. Paul Island made over 11,000 contacts, which is pretty good for the time they were there. That's all for this week. I want to say thanks to the DX Bulletin by Chad Harris and QRZ-DX. This is KY7 Mike, 73s and good DX.
Thanks a lot, Lee. Appreciate that. And Vietnam, I should be able to talk to people in Vietnam. That would be neat. And then 11,000 contacts these guys made? Whew. One of these years I'll have to go on a de-expedition. That would be kind of neat. But the most I'm going to do is go temporarily to the Southwest Division Convention, which, of course, takes place on the Queen Mary in, 2 weeks? The Labor Day weekend. And sort of looking forward to that. Never been on the Queen Mary, and it's supposed to be neat, and there's going to be all kinds of things going on, from the Wolf Hong, which is, of course, at midnight on Saturday. Now, I don't know if there's anybody out here listening who's a fellow Wolf Hong member, but the almighty Wolf Hong organization, the super secret ham radio, ARRL. That's the only thing. You got to be a member of the ARRL to be a Wolf Hong member. It's really a unique, stealthy organization. I can't talk too much about it because you can lose your membership in the Wolf Hong by talking too much about it. But it takes place at ARRL sanctioned events at midnight on Saturday night. And I'm told that this year it's going to be a super modern Wolf Hong. That's all I know. There's going to be music there. I just can't talk too much about it because you never know who's listening. I might lose my membership in this illustrious organization. But there's a special hand. Oh, I can't even mention about the handshake. But anyway, it's Saturday at midnight. And if you've never been to the Wolf Hong, you need to go to the Queen Mary just for that event Saturday evening. And then I guess we have a public information coordinators and officers forum on Friday at 3 o'clock, and there's all kinds of stuff. Over 200 exhibitors will be there, commercial exhibitors. Anyway, we'll be right back after this, and 230-2755. Give us a call.
If you're considering voicemail for your business or organization, but have been put off by the thought of investing thousands of dollars in another piece of phone equipment, consider Voicetel, the area's largest independent provider of voicemail services. Here's why.
This is Peggy Secor, Executive Director of FaxNet One. We use Voicetel to bring Operation Community Watch to the Valley. This program receives many phone calls at the same time. However, the Voicetel state-of-the-art system makes it possible that no one experiences a busy signal. Voicetel engineered the system to our specifications and did it within our budget. We truly appreciate their community spirit. Thanks, Voicetel.
Call Voicetel at 990-8886 to get your free corporate evaluation and two-week no-obligation free trial. Connect your offices in Phoenix, Tucson, throughout the Southwest, or across the country with Voicetel at 990-8886.
Well, one of the results we got with Miro Consulting was that our productivity went up 17%.
Oh, you're using Miro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's Jack. He's a consultant with Miro.
Really? Jack, how can I motivate my people when things are changing so fast?
Oh, good question. We've got the same problem.
Yeah.
How do I avoid embarrassing blunders when I'm doing business overseas?
There's no question about it. As today's business owners, you face a bewildering barrage of issues, many of which can get you in trouble. Which is why you need Miro. For clients both small and large, Muro Consulting has the answers. We're best known for outplacement services, but Muro also has the expertise to help you communicate, motivate, train, and manage so that your people become thrivers, not just survivors. Muro Consulting, M-U-R-R-O. Because business is a minefield. Consult with Muro, 224-5000.
Money news you can use. Smart Money with the Dolans, weekday afternoons at 1 on KFNN.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7, LPW.
Okay, and I want to tell you that Wallpaper World Blind Mania is having a special sale on vertical blinds, on off-white PVC verticals. Right now, they are having a super-duper sale. That's right. They really are. I was amazed to find out how low those custom verticals are. I mean, 50-some dollars for gigantic ones, and these are in top quality curved PVC and off-white with heavy-duty head rails. Buying four or more, they install them absolutely free, plus measure absolutely free. The prices now are absolutely lower than they've ever been, okay? Than they've ever been. They started selling these back in 1986. This is the lowest price. I mean, if you would have bought them 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, this particular color, off-white PVC, this is a special that they're running right now, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's like 20% less than they normally give them away for. Plus, if you mention Ham Radio and More, that's right. If you mention Ham Radio and More, you're going to get an extra discount on top of their already low prices. So make sure you mention Ham Radio and More at Wallpaper World Blind Mania, 272-4788. That's 272-4788. Wallpaper World Blind Mania, 6 locations in the Valley. Check them out tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock. They make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, let's see. Dave, KI7ZU, welcome back to Ham Radio and More. How you doing?
Oh, thank you very much. Going back to the microwave questions,
mm-hmm.
He said that you had to be concerned about heating. If it caused heating, there could be damage, but he didn't say what kind of damage. During World War II, when my father, after World War II, when my father used to stand on the flight line, they used to stand under the radar antennas of the planes and try to keep warm that way. So you just kind of wondered what damage took place.
Well, you know, the school is out, I guess, on whether there really is RF problems or not. You know, you talk to some people and they tell you absolutely don't live near electrical wires, and then the other people say, come on, there's no correlation. You know, I wonder.
Yeah, of course, to make the story real sad, he had real good health until he died of leukemia.
Well, it may have very well have something to do with that.
It could have, but I just kind of wondered, because as a young child, I stood there too, a couple times.
Well, you know, I think it's like, well, I don't know, but I you know, I'm guessing it's like x-rays. You know, it's one thing to have an x-ray of your mouth or a chest x-ray once every year or 2 years or something. It's another thing to have it on a weekly basis. You know, I know that when my wife was an x-ray tech, she had to wear a special badge that detected how much radiation she had, and if in fact that particular badge would go too high, you know, she couldn't work in that, and now never got that high, obviously, but you know, they're very concerned about it. So I don't think that this is that much different, is it?
I guess not, other than it's RF instead of particle emission.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, every ARRL convention, including Dayton, and I know this one at the Queen Mary, they always have a couple of guys who are doctors discuss RF problems as far as health. I forget what it's called exactly, the seminar. I think it's health and RF or something along those lines. And so, you know, they usually say that it has a connection, and then there's always guys getting up who says it has absolutely no connection whatsoever. So I guess you have to believe what you want.
Okay, well, like I said, I know your guest is gone, but I wondered about that.
Okay, well, you know, again, I could call him back if he's there and see if he wants to make a comment on that. We can have Darren give him a call and see in a few minutes if he wants to comment.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you.
Okay, Dave.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. You want to see if Kent is still there, if he's around, we can get him on to comment about radiation problems and just see what goes on. Lee, AB7HW, hi.
How are you, Len?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing extremely good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is a start.
There's so many goods in that sentence.
I know. We got good, good, and good.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, I'm taking exceptions to five or six of your comments.
Uh-oh.
I know. This is a tough time. One is this secret meeting you're having in California.
Well, why are you taking exception to the Wolfhong?
Well, because somehow I feel excluded, and I've already talked to my lawyer, Wolfgang.
Why are you excluded? You're not excluded. You can join. You have to be there, though.
Well, I'm going to be there.
Well, then why would you be excluded?
I don't know. You already told me it's a secret society.
Well, but
so
not,
right off, I take exception.
Oh, but it is a secret society.
I know. So
you
now,
can't. But you can't. But you can still join it.
Okay, if I can't, though, my lawyer, Wolfgang's going to talk to you.
Yeah, well, he can talk to the ARRL, you know.
To whoever he wants to, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's a super secret organization within the confines of amateur radio, but anybody can join it if you're a member of the ARRL, as long as you go to the Wolfgang meeting.
I'm a member of that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to be there.
All right, we'll see you at midnight.
I wished I could say that.
Oh, I understand.
Anyway, I also was thinking about the business with the handheld and 3 watts or 5
yes.
watts. There's been great discussion on this, as you said, but there's also gone to court any number of times.
And what happens in court?
Well, Motorola was sued, and that was thrown out of court because there are no there are no facts, figures, or any kind of evidence that says that you're going to have any kind of ill effect from that type of radiation.
That's what I was sort of alluding to, is that there's really no, well, again, it depends who you ask, but there's no scientific studies that can absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, claim that it causes a problem.
Right, and I'm sure if you stood in front of a 5-megawatt transmitter, that you probably would be well done. But when we're down in the 5 and the 3-watt range, I think people may get overly anxious about it.
Or a quarter of a watt, as he was referring to also.
Yeah. And I think somehow that may get somewhat blown out of perception.
By the way, Kent is not answering, so he's not there. So, Dave, I can't get the answer. I'm sorry. But, you know, but maybe I can email him and try to get an answer for next week or something.
That would be nice.
But, I hear microwaves, and, of course, the first thing everybody says is, you know, they think of the microwave oven. I'm wondering, what about taking a microwave oven and making a transmit? If you can do that, you'd have, what, 1,200 watts on some of these?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they don't check microwave ovens anymore. You know how they used to have a little, like a neon light or whatever, they'd go around the door to see if it leaked or not?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore. They've written that out of the whatever. So that kind of tells you that some of this isn't really something you want to be worried about, I think.
Well, you know, I'm not sure, where did I read it? I know I read it somewhere. Was it in the W5YI letter that you sent me, or was it in the ARRL letter that I get, that commented that the FCC was changing some of the requirements for equipment, commercial equipment receiving RFI.
Right, I think that was W5YI.
Yeah, I'm looking through it, and I'm trying to see if I can find where that was.
And one other thing before you go on to that.
Yes.
The nice gentleman who was worried about disconnecting his equipment.
Yes.
I had 3,000 amps in my neighborhood. I shut the bugger down.
it's always better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly. Why spend the night thinking, my God, what have I got, and get up in the morning and find out you don't have anything?
Here it is. Of course, if you have Ham Radio Insurance Corporation, then you don't have those problems.
I called them, and I'm going to have to call them back.
Okay.
Because they sent me the nice letter, but then again, I'm going to have to call them back.
Oh, okay. I hope when you called him, you mentioned my show.
I did do that.
And what did he say?
Thank you.
Oh, man, that was not enough for him to say.
I always make sure that I mention that I heard it on your show.
Well, we appreciate that, believe me.
Yeah, the Rush Limbaugh show, I always tell
you. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
It's right here. The FCC in the W5OIR report. FCC receives approximately 30,000 complaints a year of radio frequency interference to home electronics equipment, and this may only represent 10 to 20% of the problem. Due to the FCC's limited resources, it's not possible for the commission to resolve those individual RFI problems and is now commission policy not to further investigate them. The FCC also does not offer any protection from interference. By the way, the FCC, this is not in that report because it's too new, but the FCC is closing its Douglas monitoring office.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm sorry to hear that, too.
Yes, they're closing, I think, almost all of them except the one back east. And they say that they can do from there monitoring for everywhere. I don't see how that's possible, but maybe they can use mirrors or something.
It's mostly smoke.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. But you know, the sad part is that what that really puts is the blame back on the ham, because most televisions have very little protection.
Well, forget the televisions. It's the telephones that are really the problems today.
Exactly. But none of those have any real, they don't have adequate shielding. And that's where the whole problem stems from.
You know, you've just underestimated it. It's like, telling me that you wouldn't use a little rubber raft across the Atlantic Ocean.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, they don't have any shielding hardly at all, if any, and they're nothing more than a receiver.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what the telephone is, a receiver, and they're receiving our frequencies, and we're getting blamed that we're doing something wrong when, in fact, people are buying chintzy equipment.
junk is what they're buying.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and the problem is that...
Say what you mean, Lee.
Yeah,
don't beat around the bush.
Yeah, really. I'll be more personal next time. But the trouble is that the darn things don't have any rejection at all, so they'll receive everything from three cycles up, damn near.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we all stand out there holding the bag, and your neighbor comes banging your door, says, well, gee, you're the problem, and now you're stuck. No, you're not stuck, but then you got to fight your way out.
Yeah, you got to have good, nice neighbors.
I try to.
Well.
I've moved in a neighborhood where I only selected the ones I wanted.
you didn't care what the house looked like. It
no,
was the neighbors.
That's right. That's what I looked at, right.
All right. Well, I hear my music, so
okay.
I got to go.
Well, you have a nice time.
Okay, Lee. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we're going to be right back. We can take another phone call or two or three, so hop online, 230-2755.
For weeks now, you've heard Peterson and Wright talking about the purchase of life insurance policies from AIDS victims. Think about it. It helps those in dire financial straits to get the cash they need now to live out their lives free from monetary stress by selling their policy to the highest bidder. And it provides you with a superior return with no principal or market risk. It is truly a win-win situation. If preserving your capital while earning double digits in a socially conscious investment is appealing, you owe it to yourself to find out how easy and rewarding making this investment is by calling Peterson and Wright today at 274-5162. With over 16 years in financial services locally, they can show you the way to higher, safe returns. Again, the number is 274-5162.
You spend another boring night at home again?
No way. I spent it with 50 of my friends on the Rock Garden.
What's the Rock Garden?
The Rock Garden is the biggest online computer service in Arizona. I just call it with my modem at 222-3000.
All I ever use my modem for is to send a fax once in a while.
Then your modem is going to waste. The Rock Garden is a great place to meet other people, play games, use the internet, and just have a great time.
Oh, so it's an online service like Prodigy or America Online?
The Rock Garden is more of an online community than a mega service. They even throw parties several times a month so you can come and meet everyone in person. And they have worldwide chat, hundreds of message areas, thousands of shareware files that you can download, and you can even play your favorite computer games like Doom with other people online.
Wow, must be pretty expensive.
No, not really. You're new, so you'll get free demo time to look around and see if you like the system. It's so easy to use, you can get started right away. Just call in with your modem at 222-3000.
Sounds cool. What was that number again?
222-3000. Give the Rock Garden a call today. Your modem will thank you.
Hi, this is Nick Russo, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 8 for Financial Trends in the Marketplace, brought to you by Bank One Trust Arizona, right here on 1510 AM, KFNN.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Okay, we're back, and I want to tell you about Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ. That's right, he's the fleet manager for Earnhardt Dodge. Well, not only Earnhardt Dodge, but all the Earnhardt stations, all the equipment that they sell. I mean, they sell what? They sell Ford, they sell Dodge, they sell Hyundai, they sell Chrysler. If you want a vehicle, Earnhardt has it. And do you realize they are number one in the world in Dodge sales? Number one in the world? And Ken Nichols, in my book, is number one in selling cars. I don't know if he's the number one salesman in the entire world or even in the United States. Ken Nichols, that is, himself. But he's got to be right up there. He is the nicest. He is the most knowledgeable. He is a great individual to deal with. You will be pleased to deal with him, you will be you will actually enjoy yourself. That's right. You will enjoy yourself when you talk to Ken Nichols. You just give him the make, model, and options that you want, and right over the phone, he'll give you that low price. I mean, it's just that easy. Then you set up an appointment, go down there, see the vehicle. They've got so many in stock, it's unbelievable. From Neons to Stratus to Dodge Caravans to the Intrepid, you name it, they've got it, trucks, van, whatever you want, it's there at Earnhardt Dodge in Gilbert. So give them a call at 228-2336, 228-2336. Make sure you mention Ham Radio and More. Remember, Ken Nichols, 228-2336, Fleet Prices, direct to you. And he will be at Fair with a fantastic item to show you. And you can talk about ham radio or cars or trucks, whatever. But Ken Nichols will be there at Fair. Always one to help and help out and participate in the ham community. Jim and N0 or N8 AVF, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Well, I want to thank you very much for getting me in touch with Chuck and Lee. Everything has turned out very good. So
excellent. Did you go to one of the meetings yet?
Yes. Chuck took me to the first meeting last Tuesday.
Oh, at Superstition Club.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, well, it's 10 miles out of the way for him, but he wanted to take me the first one. But then four other people that live in my area have offered to take me.
Oh, is that great? That's just fantastic.
And so it was due to your program that I get everything all straightened up.
Did you have a good time at the meeting?
Oh, yes, a nice bunch of people there, yes.
And then, of course, when the weather gets a little cooler here, there'll be a horde more coming in. They have, I think they have like 300 members or something of the Superstition Club.
Yeah, they did.
And, so they have a very good turnout in the winter months, a little better than the summer months. Of course, all the ham clubs get a little sparse in the summer months. Although, the Thunderbird Club, I was at their meeting Thursday, and, of course, Fried Hein was there, as Cliff Hauser was also there, and they talked about the ARRL and stuff. There were close to 40 people for a club that has 36 paid members. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I know Fried Hein and his wife, Sandy.
Mm-hmm. They were in studio here with Rod, with the president, just a little while ago.
Oh.
And although I didn't mention Fried and his wife, I apologize for that. But the president did stop by with them and on the way to the airport. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah,
Fried's a great guy.
Yeah, I heard them. And I hear Lee is on. I heard Lee this morning on the Coffee Clutch, but I've got to send my radio and get it fixed. I can receive, but I can't get out with it.
Mm, the transmit is bad. Maybe a final blue.
Well, no, it'll transmit on some frequencies, but not on others.
Mm, okay.
So, well, anyway, everything turned out very good, and I want to thank you very much.
Well, you're entirely welcome, and I thank you, Jim. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate your calling and telling us that, and I hope you enjoy the Superstition Club. Hope maybe somebody can bring you out to fair or something.
Well, when is that going to be?
September the 16th on a Saturday.
Okay, well, we're going Tuesday we're leaving for Minnesota for 3 weeks, but we'll be back on the 12th.
Well, maybe you can do it then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, have a good trip. Safe trip.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, James.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's great, and that's what this show's all about. Anybody needs a ride or something to a ham club, you know, this is what it's all about. All right, next week we are going to talk to the ham radio insurance people, find out a little about them, but we've got some great shows coming up, a lot of DX and shows coming up with contesting and things of that nature, and we'll talk some more what I call homey stuff, like the code requirements and things of that nature in the weeks to come also. And I'm always looking for input on what you'd like to see as far as show subject matter, so don't hesitate to give us a call. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks to those of you who called in this week, and 73, Arizona.